A reeve's daughter, I said flatly. The king's reeve? The shire reeve? Her father was reeve of southern Defnoshire, Beoka said, sliding the man down the social ladder. But he left Mildred property, a fair piece of land near Exonchester. A reeve's daughter, I repeated. Not an elderman's daughter. She's 16, I believe, Beoka said, gazing at the shingled beach sliding away to our east. 16, I said scathingly, and unmarried, which suggests she has a face like a bag of maggots. That is hardly relevant, he said crossly. You don't have to sleep with her, I said, and no doubt she's pious. She is a devoted Christian, I'm happy to say. You've seen her? I asked. No, he admitted, but Alfred has talked of her. This is Alfred's idea. He likes to see his men settled, to have their roots in the land. I'm not his man, father. I'm Uhtred of Bebbanburg. And the lords of Bebbanburg don't marry pious, maggot-faced bitches of low birth. You should meet her, he persisted, frowning at me. Marriage is a wonderful thing, Uhtred, ordained by God for our happiness. How would you know? It is, he insisted weakly. I'm already happy, I said. I hump breeder and I kill Danes. Find another man for Mildred. Why don't you marry her? Good godfather, you must be near 30. If you don't marry soon, you'll go to your grave a virgin. Are you a virgin? He blushed, but did not answer, because Leofric came back to the steering deck with a black scowl. He never looked happy, but he appeared grimmer than ever at that moment, and I had an idea that he had been arguing with Alfred, an argument he had plainly lost. Alfred himself followed, a serene look of indifference on his long face. Two of his priests trailed him, carrying parchment, ink and quills, and I realised notes were being taken. What would you say, Uhtred, was the most crucial equipment for a ship? Alfred asked me. One of the priests dipped his quill in the ink in readiness for my answer, then staggered as the ship hit a wave. God knows what his writing looked like that day. The sail, Alfred prompted me. Spears, archers, shields, oars? Buckets, I said. Buckets? He looked at me with disapproval, suspecting I was mocking him. Buckets to bail the ship, Lord, I said, nodding down into Hayhengel's belly, where four men scooped out seawater and chucked it over the side, though a good deal landed on the rowers. What we need, Lord, is a better way of caulking ships. Write that down, Alfred instructed the priests, then stood on tiptoe to look across the intervening lowland into the sea lake where the enemy ships had been sighted. They'll be long gone, Leofric growled. I pray not, Alfred said. The Danes don't wait for us, Leofric said. He was in a terrible mood, so terrible that he was willing to snarl at his king. They aren't fools, he went on. They land, they raid, and they go. They'll have sailed on the ebb. The tide had just turned and was flooding against us now. Though I never did quite understand the tides in the long waters from the sea to Hampton, for there were twice as many high tides there as anywhere else. Hampton's tides had a mind of their own, or else were confused by the channels. The pagans were there at dawn, Alfred said.
And they'll be miles away by now, Leofric said.
He spoke to Alfred as if he was another crewman, using no respect, but Alfred was always patient with such insolence. He knew Leofric's worth. But Leofric was wrong that day about the enemy. The Viking ships were not gone, but still off Heilingsgaard, all seven of them having been trapped there by the falling tide. They were waiting for the rising water to float them free, but we arrived first, coming into the sea lake through the narrow entrance that leads from the northern bank of the Solent.